We have good news in the war against fentanyl. I'm Sarah Carter on the latest Sarah Carter Show. I'll also explain how the feds raided the creator of a website about UFOs. Plus, I'll respond to some of your comments. Follow the Sarah Carter Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Happy back from vacay.
Hi, 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 everybody. Hope everybody is appropriately boned this morning. I'm getting boned right now, getting my coffee ready. I've got some bonage going on right here. And, okay, I have my heart pants on, so don't make fun. But I did want to show you that I have these socks. These
so
are heat
awesome.
Holders socks. Socks from Heat Holders. These are the thin ones. Like, so they have different levels of warmth, essentially. And if you like a thin feeling sock and you don't want your, you know, you don't want your stuff to get too bulky in shoes. Dang it. Rumble's broken. Rumble is borked.
Come on, Rumble.
Anyway, this is the thin version. So they've got the three versions of the warmth. They have thin, and then they have like a medium one that's a little bit thicker. And then they have like the ones that we've shown you before, where it's just super fat, furry, awesome, warm socks. Oh,
so great on cold days on the ranch. Like when your feet, you feel like you're, you know, and I have rainouts. I don't know if you guys know what rainout syndrome is, but my feet, like that, my toes and my fingers turn blue, like when out in the cold.
Oh, so, rainout. I thought you said rain out, like a rain
no,
out.
No, rainout. It's like rainout syndrome. And so it, like, seriously, I need those socks when it's cold. I need them. So, and they work. And so they are the best.
They are the best. And it's like the perfect stocking stuffer ever. And it's not just socks, right? Like they've got socks, which is like their bestseller, but they also have the gloves, the hats, the long johns, so many warm, toasty things to keep you cozy during the colder months. So you can get 15% off when you use code CHICKS at heatholders.com. And if you spend $25 or more, you get free shipping on every order. So make sure to check them out because you've still got time before Christmas. Heatholders.com, code CHICKS.
And you guys, make sure you're going to our website, chicksontheright.com, from whence all good things come.
whence.
It's chicksontheright.com. Our writers have been writing all over the holidays. I did not write so much over the holidays.
I did not either.
I ate a lot of things. I did not write a lot of things, but I will be back to writing today, as you will be writing a lot of things today. So make sure you check out our website at chicksontheright.com.
And so, yes, Miss Cadillac knows why I have my name today. Yes, as a matter of fact, one of the posts I'm going to be writing is about the whole fight between Alyssa Milano and Elon Musk. It is hilarious. And so it's really... You have to see the whole tweet storm to understand the whole fight. But essentially, Alyssa Milano has been the longtime fan of Elon Musk. People are grabbing screenshots of all the many, many times that she has thrown, she has literally sucked up to him like you would not believe, saying that he's brilliant and talented and amazing and she loves him and blah, blah, blah. Like forever, she's loved him until he owned Twitter. And now he's, of course, a Nazi, right?
It's unbelievable, these people. I swear to God.
So now she like made this big production about how she is turning in her Tesla and she's gotten herself a VW electric vehicle instead. And so the Hodge twins tweeted her and they were like, yeah, VW was literally formed by the Nazis. So yeah.
Good job. Good job fighting white supremacy. Good job, you. Good job.
It's so perfect. Anyway,
Elon liked that tweet. I mean, he was all about that tweet.
He had one of those laughing emojis.
Yeah. It's like, that was great. God, what an idiot. God. Yeah.
Oh my God. She's just so, so dumb. Mm-hmm. And then also before we get to videos, if you guys have not seen this story about the Manhattan pharma heiress who had her mom hired a deprogrammer, which I did not even know this was a thing, you guys. But this is some rich, rich girl who got sent to all the best schools, right? She gets sent to Mount Holyoke in Western Massachusetts for high school. And she becomes a crazed liberal lunatic in the process because they completely indoctrinate her to the point. And she grew up very, very conservative. to the point where her mom hired a deprogrammer, $300 a day, to undo the crazy thinking that was taught to her in high school. And now she's talking about it. So now this woman, her name is Annabella Rockwell, okay? So you probably recognize the name. So now she's talking about what it's like to be deprogrammed from a liberal indoctrination. It's totally fascinating.
All she had to do was come hang out with us. Why did she pay $300 a day? She could have had the cold bargain of hanging out with us or the insiders group. You know what I mean?
That's true.
That she could have hung out with our insiders and they would have been like, come on, or come to a meet and greet. And then she would have been like, these people are cool, you know? $300 a day.
Well, yeah. They got the money. I can assure you that they have plenty of money for that.
Wow. So she's a conservative again? Is that the deal? So she has been successfully deprogrammed.
She's been deprogrammed and she's talking about the experience of being indoctrinated.
Wow.
And so the whole thing is fascinating because she's recovered from it, right? But she is now wise enough to how it happens that she's able to talk about it and say how ridiculous the whole line of thinking is. It's incredible. Like
that is fascinating. That really, that is truly fascinating. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
It's pretty cool. So make sure that you check that out. I saw it on the Daily Mail. I think it's everywhere at this point because it's a pretty impressive story. Anyway. The big news, of course, of the weekend is that Trump has somehow managed to step on his own wiener once again by having dinner with Nick Fuentes, who apparently was a guest of Kanye's. Kanye was welcomed to Mar-a-Lago to have dinner with Trump, but Kanye brought with him, I guess, a former campaign person on Trump's team who is now working with Kanye for his 2024 campaign, and Nick Fuentes, who is one of the most despicable people on the planet. He's a known Holocaust denier, just known psychopath. Like, he's absolutely gross, absolutely gross. And so, you know, the fact that he was at Trump's having dinner it did not go over well with not just Democrats, obviously, but you know, a lot of people are upset. A lot of Republicans are just like, really? I mean, things are already not looking good for you because you're doing so many things that are bad. And now this on top of it.
And the people who are making excuses for him for this, you know, because listen, I've made excuses for a lot of crap he's done in the past. But when you make excuses for like having dinner with a dude that, like, when you deny the Holocaust, when you say the Holocaust didn't happen, like you're that guy, and then you're having dinner with that guy. Come on, like, don't make excuses for that. Like, this is when I kind of go, can you just not do that? Because that guy, we don't want to hang out with a guy like that. We just don't want to do that.
It's just not. It was just one of those, once again, it's just an unforced error. It's just and I don't know why this is something that he consistently does. But the fact is, Kanye's getting into this presidential race. He apparently went to dinner there to ask Trump to be his running mate, you guys, which I'm just like, what is even happening?
I think him having dinner with Kanye at this point was probably a bad idea.
Yeah.
I think just the whole, I think he probably should have just chilled out for a little while just because of the press that he's been getting over the past with the, you know, the insults flying towards DeSantis and everything else. Like, who is his, everybody needs a handler, you know, especially when you are thinking about running for president or you have been a president. Everybody needs some sort of a PR person, you know, everybody does in that sort of a position. And I wonder who is handling him.
I don't think anybody can handle him.
Right. That was my point. I don't think he listens to anybody, which I know a lot of people really love. And listen, I liked it too at first. I liked that he just sort of marched to his own drum, right? But at this point, he probably needs somebody, like even if it's like a Dana Perino type person, you know what I mean? Who's just very level-headed at saying, hey, you know what? This may not be a good idea, or just somebody to bounce ideas off of.
Kellyanne Conway, I think, would be great at that. It's just, I don't think he is manageable. I think he's just like, I'm going to do whatever the hell I want to do.
He's a bull in a china shop. And that is, listen, it can be good sometimes for, you know, when you're telling the truth and you're out there, you know, saying the things, and that's great. But in these sorts of situations, not so good. It's just not going to be, because it's not going to help him win.
No, it doesn't help in any way, shape, or form. And so naturally, when the backlash started, and the reason that this even became public is because Kanye was very, very open about how he thought it went. And we'll get to that video in just a second. But as soon as the news broke and then Trump realized, oh, I got to explain myself, he took to Truth Social to do just that. And so here is what he said. He said, "So I help a seriously troubled man who just happens to be black, yay, Kanye West, who has been decimated in his business and virtually everything else, and who has always been good to me by allowing his request for a meeting at Mar-a-Lago alone so that I can give him very much needed advice. He shows up with three people, two of which I didn't know, the other a political person who I hadn't seen in years. I told him, don't run for office, total waste of time, can't win, fake news went crazy." So that is what Trump tweeted about the meeting. And then here is what Kanye said about the meeting.
"I think the thing that Trump was most perturbed about, me asking him to be my vice president, I think that was like lower on the list of things that caught him off guard. It was the fact that I walked in with intelligence. So Trump is really impressed with Nick Fuentes. And Nick Fuentes, unlike so many of the lawyers and so many people that he was left with on his 2020 campaign, he's actually a loyalist. When he didn't know where the lawyers is, you'll still have your lawyer list. And when all the lawyers said, forget it, Trump's done, there are loyalists running up in the White House, right? And my question would be, why, when you had the chance, did you not free the January Sixers? And I came to him as someone who loves Trump, and I said, go and get Corey back. Go and get these people that the media tried to cancel and told you to step away from. He basically gives me this would-be mob-esque kind of story, talking to some kid from the south side of Chicago trying to sound mobby or whatever. He goes into the story about all that he went through to get Alice Johnson out of jail and how he didn't do it for Kim, but he did it for me. But then he goes on to say that Kim is a and you could tell her I said that. And I was thinking, like, that's the mother of my children. Since we know, and all the Christians in America that love Trump know that Trump is a conservative, we're going to demand that you hold all policies directly to the Bible. When Trump started basically screaming at me at the table, telling me I was going to lose, I mean, has that ever worked for anyone in history?
You're going to lose. Tell him he's going to lose.
I'm like, well, hold on, Trump. You're talking to Ye.
Things are going to be lit in 2024.
So just, I know, right? It's going to be crazy. Oh my God. It's just the craziness has already started. Meanwhile, like, I was watching The Wedding Singer this weekend. You know, it's like I haven't seen The Wedding Singer in forever. And you know that scene where Drew Barrymore and what's his name? The dude, the lead dude. I can't remember his name now. But they're like trying out wedding singers.
Yeah.
And remember the dude that is up there, he's trying out, and the dude that is like so cheesy and he's trying out Levitz, John Levitz. He's trying out for the thing. And then the guy, Adam Sandler, who's gone kind of crazy, like in that moment. And he's like getting ready. He's going like behind the curtain. He's like, you're going crazy and I'm reaping all the benefits. And he goes, after he tries out, that's what this kind of reminds me of right now. It's like, that's your dude. That's DeSantis, right? DeSantis he's John Levitz right now, where he's just sort of like, he's on the stage. He's kind of watching all the crazy right now. And he's like, listen, people are going crazy and I'm going to reap all the benefits.
Like, I think he might.
Because it's going to be a freaking circus, you guys. Like it doesn't have to be. I think that's the point here. It doesn't have to be a circus. Like, people could just calm down and not have lunches with crazy people, you know? Like, why do we have to do this? Why? If you just, all he has to do is go, hey, you know what? Is this a good idea? Like, is it a good idea to have a lunch with a guy who's a Holocaust denier? Just ask somebody. Like, That's all it takes. It's just
it's going to be really interesting to see how Trump manages this relationship going forward, because, you know, he's always liked the fact that Kanye's been in his corner. But right. If he sees Kanye as a direct threat, oh, it's going to get ugly, and it's going to get ugly fast.
Not only is he really a direct, threat, but a lot of people see him now as an anti-Semite.
Yeah.
So that's a problem.
It's a problem. It is a problem.
Yeah.
Well, and you had wanted me to read Ben Shapiro's tweet about this, because now, of course, you know, Kanye's fighting with the Daily Wire, because that's the world helpful. That we're in right now.
Yeah, none of this is help. It's all, there's so much infighting. None of this is helpful.
No, it's a complete disaster. So what Ben said is, a good way not to accidentally dine with a vile racist and anti-Semite you don't know is to not dine with a vile racist and anti-Semite that you do know.
Yeah.
So that would have been a good step for Trump to just be like, maybe a dinner with Kanye, not a great idea right now.
I mean, I feel like, because listen, you probably don't want to, you know, start fights with like Jeremy Boring, you know? I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying, if you're running for president, if you're planning on running for president, it's probably not in your best interest to do that. Right. I'm not saying that it's not good to go toe to toe with people if you feel strong and you have a case. But I just would think that that would be somebody you wouldn't want to pick a fight with.
Well, and it's going to be, I mean, I can see it in the comments right now. There's going to be the loyalists to Trump.
Totally.
It does not matter what he does. It doesn't matter who he's with or what he says. They're going to stand by him no matter what.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's no standard that he cannot, that he can fall below. None.
Right.
They don't care what he does. He can literally just murdering puppies, and it'll be fine.
That's fine. That's fine. And I really liked him too. But the Holocaust happened. Putting that out there. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And this really says something about the people who are mad at DeSantis. Think about this. The people who are Trump loyalists are trying to criticize DeSantis for having conversations with mainstream establishment Republicans. They're trying to say DeSantis cannot be president, cannot be considered, because he has talked to establishment Republicans. Meanwhile, Trump is talking to Holocaust deniers, and they're going to defend that. So make that make sense. You know what I mean?
Right, I hear
like
you.
That, yeah. You can't like say that someone is disqualified based on who they talk to, and then say that they're not disqualified based on who they talk to just because it's your guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Like, I have no problem with DeSantis having conversations with actual leadership Republicans. That's a normal thing to me. And they're just
conversations. Well, it used to be. It used to be a normal thing. Yeah.
Everything is so freaking batshit right now.
It is kind of batshit. I know. Again, with the whole, like, I miss the 80s, you know, I watched a lot of TV this past, you know, the past couple of days, and I watched a lot of like stuff, documentary style stuff. And there was a bunch of stuff like on Reagan that I watched, and I was like, man, I miss
good
that
times.
Time. Yeah. Because you can still be strong and you can still be sort of anti-establishment while still be working with the establishment. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
You can still do that. You can still kind of toe the line a little bit, because we still have to work together. You know, you can still be a conservative and a Republican at the same time, because you got to do that. You still have to do that a little bit to make things work. And there's just a lot of infighting right now. It's not going to be helpful. It's going to play into the hands of Democrats, and Democrats will reap the benefits of that.
And you know, what if Kanye decides to run as an independent? You know, then there are the crazy people who think Kanye should actually be president. And so who does he pull votes from? Does he pull like votes from Democrats because his fan base full of hip hop fans are going to be like, oh yeah, Kanye is a cultural icon, so I'm going to vote for him. Would those like low information people come from Democrats? But then are there also going to be conservatives who are like, he's the real Christian in this fight, I'm going to vote for Kanye. You know what I mean? I don't even know who he would pull votes from. I just know it's going to be a complete cluster.
It's going to be a cluster. Yeah, 2024. 2024 is going to be a cluster.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. It's going to be crazy. And because times are so crazy right now, this is a good time for you to be thinking about how how you might diversify your finances, your financial portfolio. So if you have not yet dabbled into precious metals, we know a great company with whom you can dabble. And that is Birch Gold. Birch Gold helps you either convert an existing IRA or set up a new IRA that is based on precious metals that are backed. And so it's a nice, secure way to invest in precious metals. And it's also just one more way of diversifying so that you're not just looking at stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and such. You're also looking at precious metals. And so if you're just thinking about wanting to know information about it, there's no commitment or obligation. All you have to do is text the word CHICKS to 989898. They're going to send you so much free information so that you can make an informed decision about whether or not this is a good thing for you to do. It's just information. That's why we recommend that you at least learn about it and then make your own decision from there. So you just text CHICKS to 989898 to get your information kit from Birch Gold.
And also check out our insiders, our Facebook insiders, and our locals group is chicksontheright.locals.com. And our Facebook insiders, you guys, the most fantastic people. Just love our insider. If you have not like found your place or your people, those are your people.
That's right. And if you are a Facebook insider or local supporter, then you would have seen the Christmas house that I posted over Thanksgiving break.
45 trees.
45 Christmas trees in the house.
My God. I'm not going to say she's crazy, but I'm not going to say it either. You guys think I'm crazy for putting trees up like in October? It's fine. You do you, lady. You do you.
It was amazing. So again, if you're an insider or supporter, you can see that video. You can sign up anytime and still see that. Okay, we also have to talk about what's going... The house is huge. Suke, it is humongous. It was probably... I want to say it was like 7,000 square feet. It was like two houses stacked on top of one another.
She lives by herself.
And she starts in September.
She has to. You have to.
And every single tree has its own theme. So there was like a moose tree, like a tree with nothing but moose decorations. It was like nothing I've ever seen. Anyway. And speaking of the insiders, shout out to Kim Abrams Kim Abrams has a consulting firm where she does 3D architectural design drawings for people. And she's helping me with the designs for my house. And she's amazing. So shout out to you, Kim. And thank you so much for your help. Okay, we got to talk about, I know there's no Rumble today. I don't know why it breaks once a month because Rumble is not, they don't have their shit together. Sorry, Rumble, but you don't. So every month I have to do a new code to get it connected. I don't know why, but that's just the Rumble way. So it'll be fixed tomorrow. There are massive uprisings right now happening in China because of the severe lockdowns and restrictions that they have with their zero COVID policy.
Good.
And their zero COVID policy, by the way, is resulting in a huge increase of cases because lockdowns don't freaking work.
They don't work.
And so the people are finally rising up. It's extraordinary.
It's about damn time. Yeah.
In a minute. So it is about time and good for the Chinese people. I think what like the straw that broke the camel's back was that there was a huge high-rise apartment building that caught fire. And because these people were literally welded inside, the extent to which China is forcing people to stay indoors. They're literally welding the doors shut. If you don't have food, sucks for you. But 10 people died in this apartment fire because they could not get out. And so finally, the people are like, this is enough. This is enough. And here is a quick little news report about what's taking place right now.
Anger continues to boil over in China over the government's unrelenting zero COVID policies. Protests have erupted in multiple cities across China, demanding an end to strict government COVID restrictions and lockdowns. In some parts of the country, residents have been forced to stay in their homes for weeks on end. Officials there saying that the restrictions are necessary to protect lives. Now, despite the lockdowns, China is seeing a record number of COVID cases since the start of the pandemic. Authorities this week reported more than 30,000 new cases a day.
Did we learn a lesson yet, for crying out loud?
Exactly. And maybe just let them get out and breathe. And it's, I'm so delighted to see that this is happening. Yeah. Like, I was just like, when are they going to like rise up against these freaking commies? When are they going to, and here we are.
Here we are. And let's hope they continue, because they're like building a 90,000 person camp, like, so that they can house anybody that has been diagnosed with COVID. I mean, they're freaking insane over there.
Yeah, they're insane. They are insane. And then, and people like, you know, the Faucis of the world will defend them.
Yeah. And make excuses for them, which is a perfect segue. Mm-hmm. Perfect segue. Because Fauci, of course, needs all of the attention. All of it. So he continues to show up on all the talk shows to tell us all that we need, like, our vaccines, whatever, and to also make excuses essentially for China. So I can't remember what reporter this is. It doesn't matter who's interviewing him. It doesn't matter. He was on every talk show known to man.
Every single one.
So, and he's asked about, you know, what do you have to say about the whole cover up? The Chinese will not actually own up to their contribution to this entire pandemic. And so he's like, well, is it a cover up? I mean, that has this very specific definition.
I don't know what it means.
Washington Post editorial board had an interesting piece on this recently. I don't know if you read it, but about the secrecy regarding the origins. And it says the world owes those who died, 6 million people, but probably twice that or more, to be better prepared in the future. The cover up is immense. And still in place, China should now agree to a full and thorough scientific investigation that returns to Wuhan. Do you agree with that word, cover up, and intentional
distortion? I don't know what that
distortion
means. No, it isn't that I agree or disagree. I'm not sure what they're talking about. I mean, if cover up is not allowing people to come in and look at all the data, that's not a cover up. That's not being transparent. To me, a cover up
is like the animals
is
being killed before anyone could go into the market to investigate.
Again,
that.
I don't want to. It's going to be taken out of context by others for sure. But that's my life. Welcome to it. Cover up means you know something and you're hiding it. Mm-hmm. Not being transparent and allowing things open is a little bit of a different.
It looks like it's check cleared from China. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Well, and then he has the audacity to basically blame China's lack of transparency on Trump. Okay. This is what an apologist he is for China. Here's another piece of that same interview.
What happens is that if you look at the anti-China approach that clearly the Trump administration had right from the very beginning, and the accusatory nature, the Chinese are going to flinch back and say, no, I'm sorry, we're not going to talk to you about it, which is not correct.
But they're not talking to the Biden administration about it either.
Exactly. I think that horse is out of the barn, and they're very suspicious of anybody trying to accuse them. We need to have an open dialogue with their scientists and our scientists, keep the politics out of it, and let the scientists, because these are scientists that we've known for decades.
Keep the politics out of it.
That's
schmuck.
What he said.
Like, it's been all politics. Are you kidding me? And he is political. Like, oh my God, to say that we need to keep the, first of all, have you seen China? Have you seen it lately? We just showed a clip of China and their uprising against their commie government. And he's on the side of that.
Right. In that same interview, he even said, like, schools might shut down again. Depends on where they are in the country. The local health authorities need to figure that out. But, like, he's still talking about potential lockdowns and restrictions. And I'm just like, how much more evidence do we need that this does not work?
Like, it's asinine, because if you hear, listen, I don't know. I pay attention to a lot of, obviously, what's going on here in Texas. But across the country, of course, we haven't been as locked down here. We weren't really as locked down in rural Indiana either. Like, in where I was, at least in Indiana. Now, where you were, you had to wear masks longer than where I was. And then when we moved, we moved to Texas, obviously. So it wasn't as bad, you know, where my kid was. She didn't have to wear a mask, which was great. So we're very fortunate in that respect. But I look around the country, and a lot of these kids now are getting RSV. They're getting really bad sicknesses because they were locked down. And you hear these stupid asshats on TV now in the government saying, well, I mean, you know, these kids haven't been, you know, they've not been exposed to these sicknesses over the past couple. Gee, you think they haven't been exposed? You think? Brain surgeon? I mean, like, we could have told you that if you wouldn't have locked them down and you would have exposed them to the things, because kids are pretty resilient and they weren't affected by COVID like adults were. Or even, I mean, we weren't even affected as much as they thought. They said, you know, they told us that we were going to be affected by it, but kids weren't affected. And so if we wouldn't have locked them down, they wouldn't have been the world of hurt that they're in now by some of these other things, these other viruses they're being, you know, subjected to. So it's just, I'm not listening to any of it. When I see Fauci's face, I'm just like, I just go, I'm not listening to this little troll. I'm not listening to him because he's wrong. He's been wrong about so many things, so many things.
And it's just amazing that he won't. He'll say these things, see what's happening in China, take no accountability for having those exact same philosophies, and then act like this poor victim that he's being politicized and that people are attaching his name to negativity. And I'm just like, you are the mastermind of all of the problems.
Yeah,
literally,
totally.
It's you.
I can't believe he's...
It's me. I'm the problem. It's me. It's
I know.
You should be singing that song, Fauci.
Totally. And I can't believe that he's still the highest paid government employee. And we're paying him a pension. And we're paying him this ridiculous salary. I can't believe he still has a job. And there are so many people out of jobs because of him.
Yeah.
Like, when I see his face, he makes me sick. Seriously.
Yeah.
It's
and
gross.
Now, like right in his shadow is that Dr. Zha guy, who is also just absolutely worthless, super pushy on the, what is it, like the quadrivalent at this point vaccine that they want everybody to get now, because it's going to be like a bad flu, bad COVID, bad everything winter. And
whatever.
So the problem is that he was on one of the talk shows being asked about the antibiotic shortage and the freaking Tylenol shortage that's happening in some areas of the country. And his answer to that is, yeah, there's supply chain issues, but you guys, we have tons of COVID vaccine. Yay! I mean, I couldn't even believe what I was seeing. You have to look at this for yourself. Watch.
This shortage of amoxicillin, and even ibuprofen in some places.
Yeah.
What did they do about that?
Yeah, this is, you know, we have some broader supply chain issues with our medications that we've had for decades. I have seen this as a practicing clinician. I often, when I walk into the hospital, find some normal medicine that I'm used to using not available. We have got to continue working on that. We've made a lot of strides in this administration, but our work here is not done. So we have got to continue making sure that these medicines are available. I will tell you, the good news is, plenty of vaccines for flu and COVID, plenty of treatments for flu and COVID. Those are still out there. We have plenty of those.
Yeah.
But we've got to work.
Yeah. So if my baby needs a fever, my baby has a fever, I'm going to give her the COVID vaccine. Like, shut up.
Or bacterial infection. Here you go.
Yeah,
here's
exactly.
COVID vaccine for you.
Like, but here's the thing. Like, it's like all the words that they use. It's like all the same stuff. We're making strides. We're doing the work.
We've got work to do.
We're doing the work. We got the work to do. We're making the like they say the same crap over and over again. It's like, shut up. You know, people need Tylenol. They need Tylenol. They need ibuprofen. This is what they want. So then why is there a shortage? What's going on? What's the problem?
Well, it doesn't help that so much of this is made in China, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we've talked about that before. That is super terrifying and it's not okay. And it needs to stop. Like, we need to start making some of these things in our own country.
Yeah.
And so hopefully the work that they're doing includes some of that, because that's what really needs to happen. But contributing to the supply chain and contributing to price issues is this looming rail strike, right? So that we're still talking about the fact that there could be a huge railroad strike. And there's now mixed messages that we're getting from this White House about how directly involved Joe Biden is in any of the negotiations that were trying to happen with the unions and to prevent this strike from happening. Because if that happens, you guys, if you think prices of stuff are high now, it's going to explode. Prices of everything are going to explode. Availability of everything is going to tank. And so it's a real, real problem. And somebody put together like they juxtaposed Biden just over this past weekend in Nantucket being asked about the strike and his involvement in it. And he's basically saying, well, I'm not involved. I got people to do that for me. And then Corrine saying the exact opposite. Look at this.
Been in Are touch you with involved? The parties again?
My team has been in touch with all the parties, in rooms with the parties. I have not directly engaged yet.
The president is indeed involved directly. Yes, the president has been clearly, he's been held, he's been briefed, but he has actually been directly involved. No, I just said he's been directly, this is the third time I'm saying he's been directly involved, and he has been directly involved. Again, the president has been directly involved. I just said the president has been directly involved. So I could say this, he's been directly involved since before there was even a tentative agreement. The president is directly involved, as I have said.
These people are so inept. I swear to God, is it being run by just complete morons, our country?
I mean, it's just incredible, right?
I know. Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. And for him to be like, well, I'm not directly involved. I mean, so hopefully in today's presser, they'll be like, yeah, he said he's not directly involved. So now what, Corrine? What? I hope somebody plays that for her.
She'll just keep flipping.
You know that I need to have Peter in the front row, like holding up the big sign that says, you're a big liar.
Oh my God. Liar. It just doesn't matter though. It doesn't matter because he's outnumbered, you know?
Yeah.
So they're never going to be held accountable for anything. It just doesn't matter. Listen, speaking of like supply chain and everything, another thing that we have to, I'm not trying to freak everybody out, but but it's another thing that really, it does actually freak me out is the fact that like farms and ranches are shutting down by the day across the country. And so we're going to eventually have to like, we're going to be looking to other countries to get our food.
Oh my God.
And that, I don't think people care about that as much as they should. That freaks me out more than a lot of other, more than even medicine. It freaks me out. The food thing freaks me out. I don't think people care because they just go to the grocery store and they're like, la, 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 we're getting our food. Like, we don't know where it comes from. You know, especially people that live in big cities, they just don't care. But farms and ranches, I mean, it's like, I read that, I think it's like less than, I don't know, it was something less than 2 or 5% of ranches and farms make like more than $100,000 a year. They can't live on that. And so they're shutting down like crazy. We cannot sustain ourselves on the food that we're making within our own country. So we're going to, of course, that's another thing that's going to be outsourced to other countries.
Yep.
You know? And
that's why the climate crusaders are like, you guys should learn how to eat bugs.
Yeah. Bite
Here's
me.
How to, I know.
Yeah.
Here's a bug recipe. Here's how to eat crickets.
And they demonize farms and ranches, you know? Mm-hmm. And then meanwhile, they'll go to Starbucks and get themselves a latte.
Right.
And it's like, do you know where soy comes from? Because you got soy in that. You know what I mean? It's like, what? These people are infuriating. So I don't know. It's just something I wanted to point out. People just don't think, you know?
They don't. It's awful. It is time for you to start stocking up for Christmas presents and stockings. And this is what you can get right now. I mean, you can get anything you want from mypillow.com/chicks. But I could not recommend more highly the kitten fur squeezy technology of the MyPillow slippers and moccasins. They are
pretty awesome.
Glorious.
Mm-hmm. They're the best. Glorious. I love the travel pillows for people. Those are really great gifts. Mm-hmm. And since I already have bought like most of my Christmas presents, a lot of them are in my attic right now and all of my Christmas trees are up. I'm not even kidding you guys. Well, I have one more to do. I have two Christmas trees up, one more little one to do. Yeah. See, I'm that person and I've bought like all my Christmas presents, but I really love the travel pillows for people. They're great. You guys, they're great.
Especially because they can actually roll up pretty tight and fit in a stocking. So
really
that's another great stocking stuffer. Mm-hmm. MyPillow.com/chicks. You can save huge on their sheets still. You can also get buy one, get one offers on a ton of their products. This is the time to stock up, support Mike Lindell in the process, support us in the process, mypillow.com/chicks, and then use code chicks at checkout. Okay, we need to liven things up a little bit. I know that you've seen this clip that some genius put together of AOC and Elon Musk, who you know are also fighting. So Alyssa Milano is not the only person fighting with Elon Musk on Twitter. Everybody's mad at Elon. It totally reminds me of when all the celebrities used to love Trump, right? They loved him. They called for them. They loved him. The second that he had an R next to his name, they were like, he's a Nazi devil.
Right.
And so the same exact thing is happening to Elon Musk right now. And, you know, AOC probably thinks he wants to date her because that's what she thinks about
anybody
who's
critical. I think she
wants
to date him. I think she secretly...
I think she might want to date him.
I think Alyssa Milano does too. I think they both are like, he's hot. I secretly want to date him.
Well, yeah. Now they're both mad at him, as you know. But somebody has put together this hilarious little video montage of AOC and Elon making eyes at each other. And it's just perfection.
So great.
Look at this.
I apologize.
That was perfect.
I'm breaking all the rules. I'm breaking all the rules.
Well, I guess we might make some mistakes. Who knows?
Oh my God.
I think one of the biggest problems we have in DC is that everyone's egos are too big.
I actually just prefer to have no titles at all.
You're opening yourself up.
I'm just being me.
Oh my God.
Let's go.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh my God. You have to remember too that Elon Musk dated Amber Heard. Let's all just think back.
Oh my God. That's
remember?
Right.
He dated her for more than like a year. I mean, they were together, you guys. He dated that psycho. Think about that.
Yeah. He's just a crazy genius.
Yeah.
You know?
I wonder if she crapped on the bed when they were together. Think about
it. I don't know, but oh my God, I died laughing at that video. So
I know.
So great.
I know. It's so funny.
Okay. Couple more things before we get to whack. This thing, I do not follow mixed martial arts at all. I don't know any of the players. I don't know anything about it whatsoever. But apparently there is a mixed martial arts guy named Patty the Batty.
Okay? I love it. I love that name so much. I love it.
And so this guy was walking his dog and his dog apparently had some sort of unfortunate stomach issue.
He had tacos. He had bad tacos. The dog. It happens.
Whereby you could not clean up after the dog.
Happens.
Normally, you know, etiquette would require that you pick up after your dog. You can't do that when the dog has this kind of issue.
Mm-hmm.
But props to Patty the Batty, man.
Right.
Because he went straight to the house where his dog had the accident to fess up and say and apologize that he couldn't clean up the mess. And the people on the other side of the Ring doorbell recognized him. And it's just the most British conversation ever. So you guys are going to love this look.
Hello?
Hello, look. My dog's just had like a sloppy shit outside. I was just wondering if you got some water. I don't want to leave it outside.
That's Patty the Batty.
It is.
I'm 5 minutes away from home. Don't worry, I'll clean it.
You sure? I feel terrible. You know what I mean?
No, it's all right.
You just had the proper sloppy shit and I can't even pick it up with a poo bag. You know what I mean?
Don't worry, I'll clean it when I get in.
Thank you very much once again. I'm sorry about that. I hate doing stuff like that. That's why I knocked on.
Go on, I'll see you later.
I just love that whole thing so much.
He had a sloppy shit. I cannot with that. That's so cute.
I just
God
love
bless
that
him.
So much. I know.
It's so sweet because he didn't have to do that. It's dark. They would have never known. They would have never known. And if it rained or something, it would have just washed it away.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And I love that she was like, "You don't have to worry about that, Patty the Batty.
Are you Patty the Batty? I'll clean it up."
Anyway, I just love that. It's such a feel good. And I have one more feel good before we get to whack. And that is of Harris Faulkner. So I don't know if you guys realize Harris Faulkner, recent author, she's written a book and it is doing very well. And so her agent wanted to tell her some good news about her book. She did not know what he was calling to tell her, but you're going to see that she basically got a text from her agent saying, hey, I'm going to call you, record the call, okay? And so then you're going to see her reaction to this news.
So I just got a text message from my friend and colleague at work at Fox, Michael Tamaro, who says, I'm going to call you, record this. Oh, wait, this is him. Michael? Michael, are you there?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yeah, I can hear you.
Good, fantastic. Well, I have some fantastic news on this Thanksgiving Eve. It's an honor to be talking to a new number one New York Times best-selling author of Faith Still Moves Mountains, baby.
Oh my gosh. That is not what I thought you were going to tell me. I mean, we've been talking about so much. I thought, did he come to Arizona for a book signing? I mean, does he have more bookmarkers for the prayer circles? We're running out. I mean, oh my gosh.
Congratulations, you did
Thank
it.
You. Oh my goodness.
Isn't that the cutest?
That is really, really great. Good for her. And
I
it's
know,
a book
I just
about,
love that.
Which is like even better, right? Good
I just
for
love
her.
That.
It's fantastic.
So great.
She's awesome.
Do you want to remind everybody that in our radio days, there was the clip of the Green Needle brainstorm phenomenon?
Yeah, there's like Green Needle something. What was it?
Brainstorm.
Brainstorm Green Needle. It was an audio clip, and some people heard Green Needle, some people heard brainstorm. And then remember there was also like the video one too, where some people saw a blue dress. Some people saw that. Remember that? Like
gold dress.
The,
yep.
The gold dress. There was that whole phenomenon where people did that. Like it just, the green needle brainstorm. I can't remember what I heard. I can't remember, but
I heard both. I heard both depending on like what you are focused on, right? Like, so
right.
If you're thinking about hearing Green Needle, that's what you hear. If you're thinking about hearing Brainstorm, that's what you hear.
Right. So over the weekend on Saturday, this clip from Toy Story came up. And so, I, of course, one of my favorite movies, the Toy Story series, really, I love Toy Story. So it came up where there's a scene where, I guess like the dolls are talking and the Ken doll's talking, and instead of saying Barbie, which you're supposed to hear Barbie, the F-bomb is, you can hear the F-bomb, right? And of course, that's all I can hear, okay? So I play it in front of my 12-year-old daughter, and I'm like, what do you hear? And she goes, I hear Barbie because she's good and her heart is pure, okay? But all I hear is the F-bomb now because
so
apparently my heart is not
me.
Pure.
Right. You sent it to me yesterday and you're like, what do you hear? And I immediately heard the F-bomb. And I didn't know, I didn't read it to see what I was supposed to hear. Mm-mm. So I listened completely with virgin ears and I immediately heard the F-bomb. But then when I read the caption and it said, do you hear the F-bomb or do you hear Barbie? I was like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to re-listen. And so I thought about hearing Barbie and then that's what I heard. So it's like crazy. You can hear it either way.
But even when I knew that I was supposed to hear Barbie, I heard the F-bomb.
So now I suggested to you to close your eyes and think about Barbie when we play it right now.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to try.
Just focus as hard as you can on the word Barbie. Okay.
Okay.
And I'm going to play it for everybody right now. And you,
what do
guys
you hear?
Are going to, you guys are going to decide, do you hear the F-bomb or do you hear Barbie? So, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Is everybody ready? Here we go.
I heard Barbie.
See?
I heard the F-bomb.
But you can hear Barbie if you think about it.
You can hear, yeah, you can hear both. I mean, it's
you
like,
can
it's,
totally hear both. It's so you crazy. You can hear both.
It is crazy.
That is nuts.
Isn't it? I know. It's so weird. Thing. I just kept hearing the F-bomb over and over again. I'm like, what is wrong with me?
But when you closed your eyes, it worked?
It worked. The first time when I closed my eyes, I heard Barbie. Yeah. Okay. So maybe there isn't that much wrong with me after all.
A lot of people are hearing the F-bomb. I see a few Barbies. I see a few Boths. But yeah, I mean, this is the new green needle brainstorm phenomenon. I don't know
it's
how
whack.
It works,
but it's totally whack. There you go, guys. There you go. Okay, everybody, bring it in. Everybody, bring it in. It's Monday. Here comes Cash. He wants to say hi. Come here. Say hi.
Come
don't
on,
walk
Cash.
Away. Come here.
Give me some flappies.
He wants to come here. Say hi. Come here. No, come
Cash.
Here.
Cash.
He turns his head. His butt's right here. But he turns his head. Come here. Come here. Come here. Say hi to everybody.
Is
come
he
here.
Being shy?
Shy.
There oh, he
hello.
Is.
Okay. All right. There it is.
Where's some flaps?
Okay.
I feel them. I feel them coming. It's been so like long since we had them.
I know. You got a flap. Are you going to flap? No? Okay. No flaps. He may. Aww. I don't know. He's probably going to do it right when we get off the air. that's how he rolls.
He will.
Okay, tomorrow. He'll save some flaps for tomorrow. You guys, have a fantastic Monday. So glad to be back. And we will talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
We have good news in the war against fentanyl. I'm Sarah Carter on the latest Sarah Carter Show. I'll tell you about how several of our law enforcement agencies teamed up to carry out the biggest drug bust we've had in years. I'll also explain how the feds raided the creator of a website about UFOs and the possibility of other life in our universe. Plus, I'll respond to some of your comments. Follow the Sarah Carter Show wherever you get your podcasts.